This is Marlon Sanders, and welcome to the A-Team Call. Today, I want to talk to those of you who are newbies. Now, if you're not a newbie, please listen, because I'll give you some information, too, if you're a veteran or a little bit more advanced. I specifically, though, want to talk to newbies. If you are new in this business, let me explain to you how it works. Because a lot of people come in and they get all these emails with all of these exciting programs and plans and this and that and the other and this coaching program and this product and this ebook, and people get overwhelmed and they just don't know what to do. They just don't know where to start. So I want to lay this out if you're new and try to boil it down and make it simple. And then we'll cover some more advanced techniques and methods too. But let's just talk about the simplicity of this business. Here's how it works. Number one is you need to target a group of people. You got to find out a group of people. A lot of ways to do this. The best way is if you're passionate about something, then that's the easiest because you're already going to understand those people, what they want, what their needs, their beliefs, their desires are, and so forth. So it's going to make you very easy. It's going to make it easier to find something to sell to them and know how to sell it to them. Not everybody's fortunate enough to have that. So if you don't have something that you're passionate about, then you look for something that maybe is not a hobby, but you could be passionate about, you know, something that you do have an interest in. Even if it's something when you were younger, that would work. Then you also want to find out, do people buy a lot of stuff in that field or area? So number one, however you do it, and, I have a whole product called Push Button Target Market at pushbuttontargetmarket.com to help you through that process because it's something more that I can just discuss in a brief call. But that's number one, is you just got to find this group of people. And number two, you got to find out what they want to buy. And you do that by looking at what they're already buying, what they're already spending money on. Now, this is where my product, Occam's Razor Income System, or we call it ORIS, Occam's Razor Income System, comes in. Occam's Razor means it's a principle developed after a monk way back in antiquity who came up with a problem-solving concept that was, you know, all things being equal, the simplest solution is the best. And it's really hard to argue with. Simplicity rocks. And so I use the Occam's Razor approach in a lot of what we do. And I created this product called Occam's Razor. And the essence of the product says there's only two things you really got to focus on. You got to focus on tipping point products, and you got to focus on promoting the living daylights out of them. Now I've heavily kind of changed or altered how I state that in the product, but that's the gist or the essence of it. So here's what I mean, is you find this group of people, you find out what they buy. How do you know what they're buying? By looking at what they're already buying. But now you don't really want to just copy products out there. It's this balance, because you want to innovate. You want to add a new angle or a new twist to it, but you do it based on what people are already buying. I've already seen one criticism of the Occam's Razor concept or system that basically said, well, you know, you don't make money by innovating or looking for the big idea. You make it by selling what people are already buying. Yeah, I agree. But you just don't want to knock off or copy what's out there. You want to add your own innovative flair to it. You try to come up with what we call these tipping point ideas. A book by Malcolm Gladwell called Tipping Point. And what he found out is basically just like water. You know, you put water in a microwave and it'll heat up for so long, and then at some point that water boils over. Well, that's the way change in society is kind of the thesis of Tipping Point. All change, it goes up to a point and then it just boils over. And you're looking to be that next logical step in a chain of product ideas that reaches tipping point, and you're looking for that thing that's just on the edge of breaking through, and you want to be the one that just helps that thing, that concept or idea break through. So this is the concept of tipping point ideas. So you find this group of people, you find out what it is they want to buy by looking at what they're already buying, coming up with some tipping point product ideas. I like to do 12 product surveys, put my 12 best product ideas in a survey, do the survey, and I've been teaching that for a long time and was first and pretty much the only person in internet marketing that teaches it. So we have that. Now, once you come up with this product idea, and you can start out by selling affiliate products. A lot of people do that, meaning products by other people and you sell them for a commission. Or you can create your own products and get your own affiliates, which is what I teach people to do. And I have different tools for doing that. We have a thing called productdashboard.com that helps you create your own product. We have affiliate-dashboard.com to help you create your own affiliate program to get others to sell your products, right? So the idea, though, is you get your get this product, and now you start building your list. And you get people on the list. You start sending out emails. And I talk about this in Oris about sending out emails. And, I mean, if you only got two people on your list and one of them is your mama, you should start practicing sending out e-zines or content emails. And I talk about it in Oris, different flavors of it. In other words, you can send out an e-zine, which is more traditional, or just emails that have content, and then mix those up with pitch. My friend Lee McIntyre will send a content email, then a pitch, content email, and pitch, and he finds that gets the best response from his people. If you pitch too much, it's debatable, but a lot of people feel that you run the risk of people not reading your emails. I'm not 100% sure that's true. I see highly successful marketers do all kinds of ways. I know one guy that just sends a pitch every day, but he adds an unbelievable amount of new people to his marketing funnel each month, to be exact, 100,000. And he happens to be one of these guys that wins most affiliate contests. You know, and you see, you know, I think you've seen him on TV, even on an infomercial. But the thing is that he's adding 100,000 new people a month to his marketing funnel. Most people don't realize that part, right? So he sends out pitches. I think if he couldn't add that much new blood, he'd probably be sending out some content because you want people to keep reading your emails and not to unsubscribe. So I send out a mixture of content and a pitch. In fact, today I just sent out a new ebook that is an ebook but also has some pitch in it. And, you know, it's really funny because yesterday I sent an email out to my list and had a video, and part of the video had content and also had a bit of pitch in it, and one guy got all upset about, how could you misrepresent like that, sending out something you said was content and had a pitch in it. And it's really funny, like, that there's any Bible with a God authority who says this is how you got to do it. There, you know, it's just, it's what works for you and what works for your list and what your understanding is with your list, right? I think it's ironic that people go to a marketer to learn how to sell and then complain when they're sold something. Like, what do you think the marketer is going to do? I don't know if you ever heard the story, but there was this Big Mouth Frog, and you probably know the story better than I do. I always, like, butcher it when I tell it. But anyway, I had a friend that was, I don't even remember, like, a lion or something like that, and they were best friends. And then one day the lion's getting ready to eat the frog, and he's like, man, I thought we were friends. Why are you going to swallow me? And he's like, well, because I'm a lion. That's what lions do, right? Well, I mean, you know, what do people expect from a marketer other than you're going to get sold? And why would you want to learn marketing and selling from somebody afraid to sell you or can't sell you, right? That's something to take into consideration. So here's what we've discussed so far. Very simply and basically, you find this group of people. You find out what it is that they're buying, what they're already buying. Come up with these innovations or twists to create your own product, or look for cutting-edge affiliate products that you can sell them, and you start building this list. How do you build a list? Well, you offer people something free, and again, I have a product to help you through that whole process called promo-board.com. And, you know, it just walks you through putting up your squeeze page, getting people on the list, sending out emails and getting people to convert, getting people to buy, doing your blog, doing all those things, podcasts, videos. It's a very thorough product. So this is kind of the idea, is you start out, and to kind of boil this down, is like I said at the beginning, there's all these people with all these theories about marketing and selling and making money online. And you can kind of boil them down into a few concepts. Either you're selling your own products or you're selling affiliate products. If you're selling affiliate products, it becomes a traffic game and how you're going to get traffic. And there's two basic schools of thought there. There's a few. There's the viral approach. Mike Fossein being the main proponent of it, also Mark Joyner, who Mike learned from. There's the pay-per-click school of thought, and then there's the organic SEO, which includes your article writing people and your linking people and all of that. So you're either going to try to get lists on the left side of Google to get traffic, or you're going to try to get on the right side, which is where you just pay for the traffic, or you're going to do both. But when you're small and you're starting out, you don't have time to learn both. You know, there are people that claim, you know, you need to learn all these ways to get traffic. And I do think at a certain point, you you branch out. Like, I'm going to add in some different methods of getting traffic for a variety of reasons, and I hate it. I mean, it's a learning curve. Like, I'm trying to learn pay-per-click right now, which I've never done successfully, and I hate the learning curve. It's like I spent all yesterday watching videos by a brilliant marketer named Jerry Palmer, who makes a million in commissions a year off of ClickBank doing pay-per-click. But, you know, the problem when you go to learn something like this is the products, quite honestly, they leave stuff out. So it's like Jeremy is a brilliant marketer and is a great product, but he spent a vast majority of the product teaching you how to do web design and lay out your site and get articles written, which is part of it because you need the content and so forth. So it was very thorough in that sense. But when it got down to the actual, you know, pay-per-click part, it was there, but, you know, you're going, I'm missing something between here and a million in commissions a year. You know, there's something, there's like the missing piece here because I ain't getting the connection between this, which is not anything that unusual, like have ad groups with a few keywords in them and send them to a landing page where your words appear on it. You know, okay, I'm missing the link between there and a million in commissions. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of the problem when you go to learn internet marketing is sometimes the people who have these huge, massive numbers often are also very good salespeople and often just don't, you know, you buy the product and you're like, well, I'm missing the link between this and how you made that $40 million on your website that you were talking about or how you made that $10 million. That's honestly the truth. God bless them, but I do feel that you have an obligation if you're in this business. If you're gonna put all the numbers in your website, you know, you have an obligation to teach and tell and show people how you did it. And we do that. I mean, I'm releasing an ebook actually today to our list, called "How I Got 199,540 Opt-ins and Sold $1 Million." My first million, and in fact, I'll tell you what, we're going to send this out right now while I'm talking because we got it all queued up here in AWeber, and we're going to make money right here on this call, probably. Well, we'll see if people buy. The pitch is you go to freeonlinemarketingebook.com if you want to look at it. This is what we call a squeeze, and it's very simple. You know, people go there, they enter their email address because I offered them a free ebook, and now they're on my email list. And then after they confirm their email, they'll go to a page that has a pitch. Join what you're on now, the A-Team calls for $1. And then they'll get follow-up emails selling stuff. But I send out a lot of content. Again, I kind of like Lee McIntyre's approach, content and pitch, and for every you send a content email and the next one's a pitch, and then you send a content email and the next one's a pitch. I kind of like that overall approach. But if you learn anything about this business, you learn there's an awful lot of different approaches to doing the business. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. Okay, well, we sent that email, so we should be making money here pretty quick. And I sent that with what's called AWeber. Now, there's different autoresponder services. This is where people subscribe and you get their emails, and this is your list. Remember, we're talking about getting people on this list, and we offer them something free to get them on the list, was what I was talking about. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm doing that today, right? Even though I'm sending this out to people who are already on my list, some of them have outdated emails, and then hopefully this thing will go viral. Plus, if it sells well and it converts, I'll roll it out larger. But this is an example of a squeeze page, freeonlinemarketingebook.com. I had Graphics Genie do most of the graphic design, although my in-house designer, Danny, tweaked it up. I mean, you can get something designed like that. I don't remember what Darren charged me. I think it was $350, $400. Not really bad for that quality of design. Now, the video we had to do in-house. Danny did the video, and we shot that in-house. And if you have promo dashboard, we actually show video clips of when I shot that and how we did the lighting and the background, how we set up the background and the cameras and everything. The editing, I think Danny did that in, you can use Sony Vegas, but if you want to make anything fancy, you need to use After Effects, which is like for the Mac. I really don't know what people use. I guess maybe you can do stuff like that in Sony Vegas on a PC. So anyway, all I was saying is there's different approaches to the business. One's the affiliate model. I talked about Jerry Palmer. He does a million in commissions. And he does it all off of just pay-per-click. And then there's the organic side. And those people are all get links to your site, article marketing, you know, tricky SEO software, SEO tricks, the latest SEO secret that's getting number one ranking, first page rankings in Google in 10 minutes. The whole problem with all of those Google tricks on the organic side is they don't last very long. And by the time someone's selling the trick, it probably ain't going to be working any longer because as soon as a bunch of people do it, it seems like consistently for the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years, Google's like killed it as soon as a lot of people are doing it. That went down a traffic equalizer when it hit so big. All of those things, Google just kills them. Now, I did promote a few weeks ago a little $1 report called SEOLies.com, which has a very good backlinking strategy using outsourced workers. And that's something that's more evergreen. The idea is if you do the backlinks, you need to have some decent content on there, and then you do backlinks from a variety of sources, not just one source of backlinks. And there's a ton of ways to get backlinks, and there's plenty of information products that aren't very expensive that show you how to do it. But the best one I've probably personally seen is at SEOLies.com, and it'll cost you a whole whopping buck. And you say, well, Marlon, I don't have any money to start this business. What do I do? Well, then go get SEOLies and do that. Now, organic traffic, you know, it's slower. It's going to take you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks to start ramping that thing up, but eventually it'll start working for you. It's a lot better method than only doing article marketing. You know, articles are just one way you get backlinks, meaning links, inbound links to your website. That, when we use the word backlinks, it just means an inbound link. All right. So these are the basic ways that we make money. So you have people, affiliate marketing and PPC and all of that and SEO for affiliate marketing. Then you have people, the product creation people. And in there you got a couple camps. You have me. I came along many years ago with Give Me My Money Now. I was the first person to say, have a two-page website, a sales letter and order form, and promote it with affiliate traffic. I was the first person to say that. And I kind of made that model famous. Within internet marketing circles, it's really enormously competitive now, though, to try to get the JVs. And what a lot of people don't realize is behind the scenes, huge prizes are being given away, sometimes cars, very fancy cars. A lot of big screen TVs, plasma stuff and all of that to the people that win the affiliate JV contests and so forth. That's like behind the scenes. Now, outside of internet marketing, it's not so competitive. But in internet, it's one of the reasons I'm looking at other sources of traffic because I really kind of don't want to have to compete in that arena. It sucks, too. But things change, and you got to realize this, that if you're in business, things are going to change. And I sent out an email, it was very unpopular to my list last week, I think, about change and that everything changes, but change isn't bad. It's good because it creates opportunity. And I got almost no comments on the article, which showed that people didn't like the concept because everybody likes to think, oh, it's simple. I just learned this one little system, and I'm going to make money with it for 10 years. And actually, if you're talking about two-page websites, a sales letter, an order form, and an affiliate program, and you're talking about outside of internet marketing and a few other highly competitive arenas, that model has worked for 7, 8 years and will continue to work. But it's funny because since I'm about the only person that really promotes that model, people don't see the validity in it. It's kind of odd. Everybody gets caught up. You know, I sent out an email to my list a few weeks ago about the ClickBank stuff. Oh, my God, I never got so many comments in my life. That people are just enamored with the concept of like selling ClickBank products to make money, which is good. You're an affiliate. You're making money with either organic traffic or pay-per-click traffic, or if you're brilliant enough to figure it out, viral marketing, which is really, for a while, back in the Terry Dean days, who was one of my friends and competitors in the old days, viral ebooks and the days of Jimmy D. Brown, you know, when he was really rolling with a viral ebook concept. Back then, it was really rocking and rolling. I'm still doing them some, but it's not big like it used to. So the viral thing is kind of tough. All right, so I kind of talked a lot. I talked just in general. This has more been for newbies, and we'll talk about a couple advanced things. Let me see if I have any other comments for if you're new to this business. So you got to get people, figure out who you're selling to, what they want to buy. You got to create your list. You got to send out emails that get them to buy. And I have products kind of along that continuum. But if you're new, the promo dashboard is just great for how do you get people on your list, how to create your freebie to offer them, and so forth. The thing I don't have just the killer product on is traffic other than the affiliate dashboard. And one of the reasons for that is because I really have specialized over the years in getting traffic from my own affiliate program, which requires you to have your own product. For you advanced people, I talked this last week about faux blogs. That's kind of what's happening, the hot conversion tool. Legally, there's probably a lot of legal landmines in it. I think some people may have used testimonials that aren't real. That's not smart. There's other issues with that format. But in terms of converting, it's a highly personal format. People feel it's a blog. Their sales resistance isn't up. And that thing is converting really great right now. If you're advanced, you need to be looking at getting a product on the cost per action, the CPA networks, like CPA Empire or one of those. And I've talked enough, I think. So what I'm going to do is let me find my mute and unmute here. And let me bring this off of mute. I'll have everybody introduce themselves, and we'll go from there. First, let me get a participant count, and then I'll come off of mute. All right, let's bring this off of mute. All right, everyone, I'm back. If you are here on the count of three, say yes. One, two, three.
Yes.
All right, great. You know, it's really an odd thing about these calls is that we have quite a few A-team members and a fraction show up on the calls, and it always surprises me. Because we try to do a pretty good job of getting the word out about the calls. And I don't know. It always surprises me. Okay, what we're going to do now is I believe we have 8 people here today. Believe it or not, it really just shocks me that how many people don't show up for our calls. But that's good for you all, though, because you get more personal help. I want you to tell me your name and where you're from, and I realize you'll talk over each other some, but then again, we've got 8 folks, so it shouldn't be any big deal. So tell me your name and where you're from.
Marge in Michigan.
Marge in Michigan. Got you, Marge.
Mike in Monty City, Pennsylvania.
Mike is in Pennsylvania. Mike, always good to have you. You managed to make it on more than one call. You're like a veteran. Who else we have?
Dan in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Dan in North Carolina. Thank you, Dan. Who else?
Mary in Texas.
Say your first name.
Mary in Texas.
Oh, hi, Mary. Nice to have you. And who else do we have? All right, that's 4, and we've got 8 people on the call, so we got 4 more people to speak up. One of them ate my mama.
Marlon, it's Nancy from Maryland.
Hi, Nancy.
I was on mute and didn't know it.
How are you today?
I'm
yeah,
good.
If you press *6, you have to press *6 to unmute yourself to be able to talk. Good to have you, Nancy.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Hey, you're not near, are you near, Maryland, hold on 1 second. Do you know where Agora is?
Agora?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, hold on. Give me 1 second here, and I'll tell you where they're at. Because you know what you should do? You should, like, swing by sometime and see their offices. Because it's a huge company.
A-D-O-R-A?
Yeah, hold on. Well, they're actually own, like, 50, 60, 100 companies, but their headquarters are in, you know what, when you know this, okay, when I want to try to find their address, hold on. They also have an office in Delray Beach, Florida, and I kept getting a couple of their companies that are in, actually they have offices overseas too. They're a very big direct marketing company, but man, where, Baltimore, it's, I guess they're in Baltimore.
Okay.
Like, if you go to dailyreckoning.com, R-E-C-K-O-N-I-N-G.com, or investmentu.com. You can get on their lists, some of their lists. Yeah, they're on West Monument Street in Baltimore.
That's not that far from us. We're about 25 miles from Baltimore.
You should go to investmentu.com. And if you search around, they have about, they're the largest financial, largest or second largest, I believe they're maybe the largest now, financial direct mailer in the United States, meaning that they send out millions of emails, direct mail, millions and millions. They employ 100 copywriters, many of whom would be amongst the best copywriters in the world. And they have a whole lot of companies that I study because their marketing, their sales letters are just great, and their marketing is just really awesome. And they're all on an interesting model. They all do a daily e-sign. So a couple of websites you might want to subscribe to. These are from their Delray Beach office. But awaionline.com, American Writers Artists Institute, awaionline.com, and earlytorise.com, E-A-R-L-Y, earlytorise.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they set out daily e-zines, which have content usually by three or four writers because they kind of cross-pollinate among e-zines and stuff. They include ads in every issue. And then they have a website that's sort of a blog, sort of a website where they publish the e-zine articles, have ads, catalogs, so on and so forth. It's very interesting marketing. And, yeah, you should, like, swing by their offices and see, just, like, check it all out because it's always good to see well, they're about a $200 million a year business, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So the AWAI Online just trains copywriters. That's all they do. So they train people how to be professional copywriters. And the fascinating stuff, anyway, I wanted to mention that because you're close over there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go check them out. And just, I don't know why. They'll probably give you a tour. I don't know if they will or not. They may be like, get out of here. We're writing. No, I'll tell you what they probably will do, because these people are like outstanding marketers. I dare say they will have a salesperson give you a tour, and God only knows what kind of newsletters they'll try to get you to buy by the end of the tour. It's probably better than timeshare. It'll be like, we only got three courses over here, and we got 20 people on tours right now. We got two of the courses are on hold, so we've only got one left. No. All right. So we got Marge, Mike, Dan, Mary, Nancy. Who else are we missing?
Marlon, this is Marge. I just wanted to reaffirm what you've just said. I've been on their list for probably 5 years or more. I bought several of their products, including the AWII copywriting the course on that. I haven't gotten all the way through it, but they do have quality stuff.
Oh, I bought the master's course. Let me tell you about the master's course, because all of you, sometimes what you get out of my calls is, like, you never know what you're going to get on these calls with me. Sometimes you get a lot, but it's not what you expected. You know, every one of them is kind of like a snowflake. It depends on my mood, and I don't know, that's kind of the way I like it. So listen to this. So they have a course, it's the master's course in copywriting, which I purchased, okay? It's $750, right? So it's not cheap. Now, depending on your definition of cheap, but for most people, because it's a notebook, it's a three-ring binder that also has some CDs in it, and the CDs are someone reading the notebook, okay? So basically, you got a notebook. And the first half of the notebook, the last half of the notebook is just like kind of like some random articles that aren't really that related to the train of thought. So basically, out of this notebook, you probably got 100 good pages. And, you know, some people would go, my God, what a ripoff. There's 100 good pages out of this notebook, and the CDs are all someone reading it. But I got to say, you know, I've been through the notebook. And, you know, I'm a professional copywriter, but I've been through the notebook probably at least three times, and, like, I was listening to one of the CDs last night when I was going to sleep. It's really kind of bad on the CDs because I don't know how much value I get out of the CDs, but I have that course and one other course that I play when I need to go to sleep. It's like, you know, if you have a course on CD, like, the at least it can help you sleep is the way I look at it. Which, you know, some nights you would pay $750 for a CD that would make you sleep. You know what I'm saying? So I always have this theory that, like, if you listen to that stuff while you're sleeping, you probably learn more than if you're listening to it while you're awake and your conscious mind is, like, criticizing it to death anyway. So my point is, like, I think that at $750, that notebook is an outstanding value, and I made a lot of money from it. And frankly, from only about 100 pages of the notebook. That's why I'm bringing it up on this call, because a lot of people in online marketing and in forums have an incredibly distorted view of information. And if you're going to be in the information business, I think you really need to get clear on what value is. I mean, this is like law 101 of business, but a lot of people have a really, really jacked up view of value and business, in my opinion. Like, let me just give you an example. Let's say I have a plot of ground, all right? Now, it's not a swamp, okay? I mean, a swamp might be a different thing. But let's just say I have a plot of ground. And a real estate agent comes along and says, that plot of ground is worth $5,000, okay? And let's say that I sell that plot of ground for $50,000 when the real estate agent said it was only worth $5,000. Did I rip someone off or not? See, I think this is a really great topic for, and on the internet, oh my God, people would just go off on that. And I really just don't think they understand what a marketplace is. What is the value of something? The value of something is what someone else with full knowledge of the product is willing to pay for it. Now, if I'm selling for $50,000 and I'm claiming that it's this, you know, extremely rich farmland or something and it's a swamp, now that's a lie. See, they didn't know what they were buying. But other than that, in a marketplace, the value of something is what someone else is willing to pay for it. And I read the best comment from Dan Kennedy once about that there is no unfair price for something. There is no wrong price for something. He said there can only, but there may be too small of a market. In other words, if I got a piece of land, not a piece of land, but let's say I got a product, I could sell it for $50,000, but I've only got five potential buyers in the world willing to pay that much for it, and you figure you can maybe sell one of them. Was it worth it? See, you probably make a lot more money if you lower the price down to $1,000 to $5,000. So the price is irrelevant. It's really what's the market for it. And so I think people got to get it straight in the mind. What is the value of information? The value of information is what somebody else who understands the nature of the purchase is willing to pay for it. And that's all it relates to. And these people in forums are like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're selling that for $5,000. What a ripoff. I can't believe they're selling that seminar for $10,000. What a ripoff. Just don't get it. I mean, to that person, it's worth $10,000. I personally have paid $500 for one page of information before. And I submit to you that people pay $5,000 for one page of information all day long and all night long. And that one page is called a visa. And if you're in a third world country trying to get to the United States, you better have right now a really, really good lawyer. And that piece of paper that's called a visa is going to cost you 3 to 5 G's if you're lucky enough to get it. Because I have a friend in the Philippines, and she lost her visa and couldn't get it reissued. So if all you get from that call is getting the value of information and what you sell in your brain, what's the value of 100 pages? Well, to me, it's worth a lot more than $750. But a lot of people have said, well, 100 good pages, and it's just a notebook, and the CDs were just a recording of what was in the notebook. What a ripoff. I would really like to just get these people in a room and just lecture them for like 10 hours. They still wouldn't get it. You'd just be wasting your breath. Yes, let's hear it.
This is Andrew from New York.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, isn't the whole purpose of the marketing to sell the value so that, you know, to educate the target so that they see the value? Isn't that what the job is?
Well, dominantly, Andrew. It's an interesting thing. And when I say it's interesting, here's what I mean, Andrew, is that you can't create that. Marketing is not about creating value for something that people don't, that doesn't have value to people.
Right.
In other words, to some people see marketing as you're taking a car that's broken down and won't run and trying to sell it for $1 million. That's very different from something where the value of it is all in people's head. And I'll give you an example. Jay Abraham one time had a bonus for a product that was one audio tape. And he starts out and tells how he had to barter, which I'm sure was true, $250,000 of his personal consulting to this company in order to get the right to interview them for 1 or 2 days about how they operated their company. And so he started out bartering $250,000 of his services. Then he hired the finest audio editor in the industry to take that audio and edit it down and so forth. And anyway, he got it down to, like, I forget, a two-hour interview or something. So whether you saw the value of $50,000, $25,000, or the value of a cassette tape, a buck, was all your viewpoint. But he did just what Andrew said, is he created the perception of the value by really explaining what went into it. So I think you all have got to be real clear in your mind on the value of what you're selling. And there, you know, people are like, well, what's the value? I have this book. You know, what's the value of this book? What should I sell it for? Well, the value of that book is whatever somebody else is willing to pay for it. The problem is you may not have a lot of other people willing to pay that much for it. Without asking for a refund. All right. Who today, first of all, before I go on, who today has a comment on what I talked about, kind of like the newbie plan and so forth at the beginning of this call? Did anybody have questions or comments on that before we move forward? Anyone? All right.
Some of the list is mostly.
I'm sorry?
Well, I have a question about...
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. I checked my list yesterday. About, list is about 2,000. I have about 250 of those names that the addresses are no longer valid.
Yeah.
And I'm getting bounces. How do you, when I check the names on there, I recognize some names of people I know personally, but many others I don't know. How do you, what do you do with that list?
All right, and who is this?
This is Andrew.
Okay, Andrew. And where are you calling from, Andrew?
New York.
Oh, you're in New York. All right.
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing on the bad email addresses, Andrew, is they suck. You know, there's no other way to say it. Email addresses go bad faster than you want them to go bad.
Okay.
This is one of the reasons that I believe in the content model that I explained in Auris. I think you need to get, the only way to overcome that, Andrew, is to give people a really, really, really great reason to make darn sure they get your emails. You know, because short of that, I do know somebody offered that ran a membership site where people were paying monthly, and if those email addresses went bad, because those people were 20 or 30 bucks a month, they would literally have staff call them up and get the correct email address. But that's for people who were paying monthly, or if you had people, Andrew, had a very high customer value where it was worth a phone call and you had their phone, you could call them. But if they're just email subscribers on your prospect list, they go bad every day, and it really sucks. And the, let's be honest, and you would prefer that no one's email address ever went bad. But that's not life. And so the only antidote to that, there's two antidotes. One is you've got to be really aggressive about lead generation. You know, you've got to be generating so many leads into your business that you just don't care about the ones that go bad. And you got to be generating more good ones and new ones than go bad. So, I mean, you've really got to be a lead-generating machine. That's part one. Part two is when you got to have enough content and good enough content, strong enough content mixed into with your pitches that people go out of their way to make sure that if their email goes bad, they get back on your list. One of the ways that you can do that, Andrew, is on occasion offering, an above-average freebie. So you do an e-sign, but you don't just do an e-sign. On occasion, you offer a free video, podcast, ebook, something else. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you don't want to train your customers just to expect all your information for free and to raise Cain if it's not free. And then there are proponents of don't give them anything free. Like, I know some people, and they have a valid point, they don't want anybody on their list for free. They want everybody on their list to have to pay something. I'm really not on board with that. I see the value in getting people on your list and letting them warm up to you. Mm-hmm. But, the fact of this business is addresses do go bad, and you've got to be very aggressive on your lead generation sign. Whether that's pay-per-click advertising, banner advertising, search engine optimization, you got to find something that you really press hard on to keep leads coming in.
Yeah, I went recently to search engine optimization. Not myself. I have someone who does that. And what I noticed in just tracking the numbers is the new leads before search engine optimization were at the same level as it didn't move the meter at all. So I'm wondering, is it how they're running this search engine optimization or what?
Well, okay, so law one of direct marketing pretty much is you got to track everything, right?
Right.
And if it ain't getting you a return on investment, you do something else.
Right.
And it could be that company that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a lot of things. I know my friend Kirk Christensen does search engine, does pay-per-click stuff, and if you needed pay-per-click help, I would refer you to him. I've not read many success stories on the organic side paid search engine optimization. I'm sure they're out there. I just don't personally know any. Everybody, really, to be honest, I don't know very many people really killing it in terms of leads on the search engine optimization side other than Justin Brooks. The thing about Justin's method is, how much are you paying to outsource your search engine optimization?
A couple hundred.
All right. You can hire a full-time Filipino and give them Justin Brooks Google Android, or John Jonas also has his videos in his system. But Justin's is only organic SEO. You give him SEO Lives and you give him his videos, or you take SEO Lives and just create your own videos, and you can have a full-time Filipina or Filipino doing search engine for you who speaks good English and will work hard 8 hours a day and will cost you $150 to $250 bucks per month.
Got it.
They can do blog commenting. They can do the Justin has a method of, he does the 30-minute backlinks that Michelle created. He has all of these different backlink generating SEO methods, and you should see results from those things within, I think Justin says, as soon as 7 days. So, frankly, if I were you, I take that money you're spending, and again, I don't know the company you're using, so it's not fair for me to say this, but in general, I'd find, use John Jonas's system, I'd find a really great Filipino, and I would just have them work at it full-time every day where I can keep tabs on it. I know what they're doing. We have them do different things. We track the results of different things, and we have them do more of what works and less of what doesn't work. Is that useful to you?
Yes, it is, very. Thank you.
I would also look at running ads in blogs, ads in forums, and so forth. The problem with running ads in blogs is you got to, same way with ads in eZine, you got to rotate them. So you may only be able to run in a particular eZine profitably once every month, once every 2 months. You may only be able to run in a profitable blog, you know, once every few weeks or once a month. You just got to test it and try it and see the frequency. Blogs don't get a whole lot of new readers at a high rate typically, and so you can't run there every week. Like most eZines, you can't mail every week and have it be profitable. You got to do it maybe once a month.
And pay-per-click, you were saying?
Oh, well, pay-per-click is good, and you can have Kurt Christensen do it. Or you can, I believe, AdWordScience.com, or you can try to learn it yourself or try to outsource it. But you probably have got to learn it yourself before you can successfully hire a Filipino to do it. Like, I don't personally know of a good A to Z, because if I did, I'd probably already be using it. I don't know personally of a good A to Z outsourcing course for Google AdWords. Although I think what John Jonas did was he just bought Perry Marshall's e-book, gave it to a Filipino, and said, read this and do it, which is John's typical method, if you've been through his stuff, replacemyself.com. All right, but I need to move on, Andrew. Who else here is stuck or has a question on something or needs a boost or needs feedback, whatever?
Okay, I'll step in. This is Nancy. All right.
Hey, Nancy.
First, I want to thank you for your great idea about Newbie Queen. I grabbed it, set up a blog, did it wrong, have to restart, but that's okay.
Hey, no, you know what that is?
What?
It's one of your first lessons in Newbie Queen.
Yeah.
Right?
I have 1,000 of them.
Oh, it's perfect. No, that's great. See,
yeah, it is great. It is great.
Here's why
but
I think that's great,
no.
Nancy, is because, you see, okay, I cannot remember the mistakes I made in learning to do different things, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's what's great about the learning curve is because you're doing it and you're making the mistakes, so now you know what to write about and do videos about and talk about.
Right.
Once you have it all down and you've mastered everything, then it's going to be really hard to identify with the newbies.
Yeah.
See? Because by then, you're like, well, why don't you get this? You just do blah, 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 because you've done it 40 million times and you can do it in your sleep.
I understand. And you know what else I did? I bought myself a little Mino HD.
Oh, yes?
Yes.
How do you like it?
I love it.
So that's the little flip. That's the latest
flip
camera, right, for the people who don't know?
Yep. It's a little flip video. It will do an
hour. I heard that they had the HD one, but I haven't seen the quality of it.
It's excellent. That's what I got was the HD, and it's got a wonderful microphone. And you can just set it up. And I've been taking all kinds of little videos practicing. It is just slicker than snot.
Now, let me tell you something that might be useful. At a video store, a camera store, they have these little harness things that go around your neck and, like, your arm will rest on it.
Uh-huh.
So that you can hold the camera without shaking.
Oh, what a good idea.
And if you will keep your eyes open, they also have little ones that are these flex. If you go to tubetape.com, you can find them, but frankly, I bought mine at my local camera store. They have these little tripods that are flexible tripods. In other words, they have these legs that will wrap around anything.
Uh-huh. I got one of those, actually.
Yeah, those are cool because you could stick it on there and wrap it around a chair or about anything to stabilize it.
Yeah, and I'll just share this. One of the things that I've learned over the past umpteen years of trying to get some traction in intermarketing is to get what you need, like with this little Mino HD. I bought the tripod, rather than fiddle around and try to figure out some way on my own, because that's how I've lost more money than anything, is, you know, trying to figure out some way of my own to get it to sit where I wanted it to sit and blah, blah, blah. So I spent another $15. I mean, what's that compared to what the $200 that I paid for the camera? I bought it, spent another $15 to get a tripod.
Right.
So that I can use it with less hassle, I'll be happier with it, and I'll use it more frequently. And if I can't afford $15 for the tripod, then I shouldn't be in this business.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that, Nancy. Very nice. Who else has a question? Keep going on Newbie Queen and like...
Oh, I will.
I cannot remember the cartoonist, but I had a cartoonist on my Twitter sometime back. You know, or I think you had a friend who was one. I like the idea of branding it.
Yes, and in fact, I have the name of that cartoonist.
Oh, awesome.
And it's just here in my thousands of notes, but I have it, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. I would say brand it. Yeah, I mean, go to recruit dagansmith.com and see what Dagan did, DAEGANsmith.com. All right, who else has a question or a comment or some way I can assist you today?
I'll just get in on what Nancy was saying. And one of the things that I do because of the very reason that you talked about is that when I do my free blog calls, I always get somebody on there who's not blog savvy to be my co-host, and I tell everybody we're just going to, if I start to talk techie, your job is to smack me up the side of the head and make me speak English.
Now, is this Mike?
Yes.
Okay, Mike. Now, why don't you tell us about your free blog calls? Because Nancy's not doing Newbie Queen calls yet, are you, Nancy?
No, not yet.
So Mike's going to tell you what he does on these blog calls because you might want to do Newbie Queen calls. Mike, what service do you use? How often do you do them? How do you get people on the call, and what do you talk about?
Okay, well, what I use is Blog Talk Radio, and I do a monthly free call, and it is simply an open question and answer.
Now, is this blogtalkradio.com or?
Yeah, whatever. You sign up at Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and is this broadcast over the Internet?
It's over the Internet, or people can call in and interact with you on the phone also.
Oh, cool. All right, and why do you use that service as opposed to just freeconferencecall.com?
Well, I used to use Instant Teleseminar for them.
Okay.
Okay, and that worked, but Blog Talk Radio, you get extra, you get listed on theirs, which generates backlinks to my blog.
Okay.
Because I always link back to my blog. It also has a chat box and allows people to interact between each other, which gives me a lot of intelligence on what people are really thinking.
All right.
That you don't get from people just asking questions.
And how do you get people on your calls, Mike?
For me, I do it off of my blog and off of my mailing lists.
All right.
I will set up, usually I do them on Tuesdays at 7, and I'll start on Saturday with a mention on the blog and a mention on two different blogs that I'll be doing the free call, and here's the details. Go over here, start to leave your questions, so that usually I have half a dozen questions before we even sign in to start the show.
Oh, nice. Nancy, are you taking notes on this?
I am. Mike, is this... Are you Mike Patzel?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Of course. I didn't know you were doing blog radio. I'll go check that out.
Yeah, no, Blog Talk Radio is great that way. The conference calls are good, but Blog Talk Radio, I can just grab the call when as soon as it's done, put it so that it can be added to my blog also. So it can be played there. It can be played off of my blog. So
what's your most popular topic you've ever done, Mike?
Well, I just do the Q&A calls.
Oh, you just do Q&A calls.
Yeah, that's the free call is a Q&A call, period. Now,
oh, okay.
I use a teleseminar when I do my coaching calls, but those are paid calls.
All right. And you're selling a coaching program.
Yeah. Now, I usually will do one call prior to starting opening the coaching program again. I always do a free call, and I invite everybody to that. And it's done the same format as what it is. It's the pre-sell to get people to buy the coaching package.
So, Nancy,
we don't like the way that we teach. You know, there's no point in doing it.
I like that very much. I want to see Nancy do this with Newbie Queen.
Yeah. Actually, I've been on some of Mike's Q&A calls.
Awesome.
And I always found they were helpful.
Awesome. But
yeah, that is a great idea. Thank you
so
much,
It's a great, and your calls are how long, Mike?
Run between 30 and 45 minutes. The downside to Blog Talk Radio is you have to schedule the time frame ahead of time.
All right. And I assume that you have a product in the works called How to Promote Your Blog and Make Money Doing Free Blog Talk Radio Calls.
Not one I have. I have something in mind for using free calls for building reputation, not for necessarily selling.
People don't want to build the reputation. They want to make money. seriously, like,
yeah, but
I don't need their reputation. Just give me some money in my bank account.
The point is, and I think this is something people miss, is that I don't sell anything on those calls. But those calls always generate money over the next 2-3 days. There's always a big spike in sales.
I was just planning an idea. I think that you should take the whole little system you just described to me and make a product out of it. The emails that you send out, recordings of sample Blog Talk Radio calls, how you get people to submit their questions, the ad little blurbs you use to promote it on your blog, just the whole entire little system in a little box. Because, see, if you had that, then I could just go, Nancy, just go to Blog Talk Radio, promote with Blog Talk Radio or something like that, and just buy Mike's system.
Yeah, Mike.
I don't know. Are you on board with that, Mike, or do you get it?
No, I get it. The problem is the same problem I have with the Occam Razors coaching.
Yes.
Okay. It's right now. I'm in the middle of trying to get my first person in the Philippines set up.
Congratulations on that. Did you get them using John's system or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get
awesome.
One, Mike? Did you find one?
No, I just started with it.
I haven't found an employee yet, but I'm going back to that when I catch up on a couple of other things.
All right. So you got a lot on your plate, Mike.
Yeah, and I have a membership site that's almost ready. That's about three-quarters done.
That
needs some focus. And now what I'm doing with what you gave me with 15-minute blog traffic.
Yeah.
It's like
you got a lot of potential. I understand. You got a lot of things going. That's all right.
That mix.
Yeah, you just stick it in your. You just stick it on your projects, though, and you just get to it when you can. I do think it's a good product idea. I also like the 15-minute idea because I remember that one. But yeah, get your person in the Philippines set up because that's going to take some of the load off of you. Same thing for you, Nancy.
Yeah.
Because it definitely works. But yeah, the let's just be honest because I don't think there's enough honesty in marketing sometimes. I mean, the setup sucks, like, because it, you know, once you get things running, it's great, but, you know, it's like Gary Halbert said one time Gary said, you know, I love marketing, selling products is great, you know, he's like, delivering products is a bitch.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that's why he went to jail, was for lack of delivery, right? You know. If you sell like $1 zillion or something and then neglect to fulfill the product, it's not good. But really, the setup is tough sometimes. It takes focus and it takes time and it takes energy and it. But let me tell you what I'm going to do, and I recommend everybody on this call does. If you're using the outsources, you know, Camtasia is your best friend. You got to sit down. Figure out what you want them to do and do Camtasia on. That's what I hope to do on the AdWords thing eventually. And it is what John Jonas brings to the table and Justin is they've already figured out some things and have videos on them. It's also the best use of info products that you buy. You know, To me, a great thing is if you can buy an info product, it's really complete enough that you can give it to an outsourcer and just go do this. That's just like your fantasy.
Yeah, I agree there. But the other thing, going back, one other thing with Occam's Razor, and I know that I did it in my review, is that you almost have to have promo dashboard. Anybody that buys Occam Razor and doesn't have promo dashboard is going to get lost.
Well, I don't think they get lost, Mike. It's a matter of perspective. Like, let me put it to you this way. It's a book. Okay, it's a book. Now, pick any book at the bookstore. Pick any book that's ever been written at the bookstore. Was that book all you needed? No, it's a book.
I understand that.
The purpose of a book is just to stimulate ideas. That's all the book is for. The book is to stimulate.
That's a gold line right there.
You see, that's all the book is for, is just to stimulate thinking. Now, in Internet marketing, unfortunately, people don't see it that way. They're like, well, I bought this book and I'm not rich yet. You know, or I bought this book and, my God, I got to buy something else. Oh, my God. Well, you know, that ain't the purpose. Like, I have a book here, Survival Is Not Enough by Seth Godin, that I'm reading. That ain't everything that I need to know or how to do it, but it stimulates my ideas. I have a book here by Peter Drucker, The Effective Executive. It ain't going to teach me to be an executive. It ain't even like a tenth of what I need to know to be an executive. But it's got some good ideas in it. So to me, that's what a book is. Now, people on the Internet sometimes, again, their expectations are so unrealistic, they ain't going to see it that way. But, you know, that's the one advantage of delivering a product as a book is people have less expectations. Somehow when it transfers over to an e-book, they feel like that it should have $100,000 of information in it for $20. So, anyway, that's my view.
I don't think that. I just think that the two packaged together are worth more than either one separately.
Well, you know, to me, you also need affiliate dashboard. You also need Amazing Formula. You also need push-button letters. You probably also need John Carlton's copywriting course. A lot of stuff. But, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to have a total package.
But I hear you. All right. Who else on the call has a question or a comment today? Or you're stuck on something. Nancy and me and Mike have been chatting here. Who else wants to chime in on this? I'm going to start calling names. Marge?
Marlene, I just unmuted myself.
Okay.
You know, that's my problem. Some of you guys are so good at motivating, then that's what drives us away from the focus. Because we get so many ideas, and then we don't know where to start. Because, you know, I mean,
well,
I could sit here and write down 100 ideas, and then it's like, okay, where do I go back to?
Let's get rid of this problem for you and boil it down, okay?
Right.
Are you getting people on a list yet?
I've set up my blog, but actually what I'm promoting affiliate-wise now, it's going to take a long time to make that connection.
I didn't say, are you promoting affiliate stuff? I'd ask if you've got a blog. I said, are you getting people on a list?
Slowly.
What, you got people on a list or do you not? An email list where you can send them emails.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you add anybody last month to that list?
Yes, I just got my AWeber set up. So some of them I've had, like, on my personal easy,
Okay, good.
But
now,
yeah, I've got to transfer over.
Next week, do you expect that any new people will be added to that list?
That's my next thing, is to do the traffic part.
All right. So here's what I recommend that you focus on. Get people on your list and start sending out emails now. Like, are you sending out a daily or a weekly email now?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, you need to start, like, today. Send an email today.
Well, and then that's where I, though, in my conscience, I go back to, in which I agree with you on, is I need content. So I don't feel like I should just send out emails until I have content that's really going to...
Okay, how many people do you got on your list?
Probably about 20.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Hey, Marlene, so I mean, your email, your URL, I'll join your list.
Okay, well, it's, yeah, it's busymombiz.com.
B-I-Z-Z, right?
Pardon me? Yes, B-U-S-Y, Busy Mom.
Oh, B-U-S-Y?
Yes.
Okay.
BusyMomBiz, B-I-Z, .com.
Okay.
So let's talk about what you're going to write about, Marge, because I feel this has value for everybody. Have you subscribed to Matt Fury's list yet?
I was probably on Matt's a long time ago because I, you know, but I don't. I haven't gotten it recently, no.
Okay, so here's what you do. If you follow what's in Occam's Razor about setting up Gmail accounts for different people. So you set up a Gmail for Matt, and you subscribe. You set up a Gmail for me, you subscribe. You set up a Gmail for Dagan Smith, you subscribe. Set up a Gmail for Eben Pagan, you subscribe. Set up a Gmail for Sean Casey, and you subscribe. So now you've got all their emails all in one Gmail. I mean, all in one, so you can just look at it and scan subject lines. Specifically, do I recommend Matt? Why? Because all Matt does in his emails is tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question, Marge. Can you tell a story?
Yes. I love stories, but I tend to make them too long.
I don't think a story can be too long. Matt tells some pretty long stories. You know, I don't think a story can be too long. It's just, what do you need to effectively tell the story? Now, if you get down to where it's just flat-out boring, you'll cut. What you want to do is you want to cut out stuff that's either confusing or stuff that's unbelievable or stuff that's boring. It's called CUB. That's a thing Agora teaches in their copywriting thing. If it's confusing, cut it out. If it's unbelievable, cut it out. Or if it's boring, just boring. You don't want to – the story can never be too long, but it can be too boring.
Uh-huh.
So if it's confusing, it's it's unbelievable, unclear, it's boring, cut it out. Other than that, start telling stories and emailing them to your list. Related to busy moms and whatever your topics are, what you need is a list of 10 topics that you feel you want to talk about to your list.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
Pick one of those topics every day, write a story on it, and email it out to your 21 people now that you're getting a new subscriber. Now, if you can't do it every day, do it every other day. But you see, you got to start practicing writing and telling stories.
Uh-huh.
Now, at the end of the story, you link over to your blog like I do, where it's not your index page of your blog, but it's a specific page where they can comment. You paste that email, that story, on your blog, and you send them to that specific page so the comment box is right there. And at the end of every story, you're like, hey, if you have a comment on this, comment over on my blog.
Right.
Now you're getting, now every day or every other day you've got content, these stories that you're posting to your blog, and you've got people commenting on them, so then Google's going to like that because it's going to see comments. Then you can go to forums that relate to busy moms, where busy moms are, and if you have a really good story you write, you can go over there and you can say, hey, I just posted over on my blog a really great story about blah, 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 and have a nice catchy title to it. Go check it out.
Uh-huh.
Let me know what you think. Now you're picking up subscribers from forums. And if that's all you do, Marge, between now and the next call or between now and two calls from now, that's a great start. So to sum this up, you said you were overwhelmed with all this crap and everything. Just forget it all, and here's what you need to focus on. For you, you need to focus on start writing these stories and start sending out emails and start doing some things to get people on this list. Post your articles that you send out by email on your blog and get people to comment. Now, when you send out those articles, those stories, you know, one of those stories may happen to relate to a product you bought. If it does, sign up as an affiliate and give them an affiliate link. And pretty soon you'll be making a few sales here and there. And again, if you study Matt Fury, Matt and John Alanis and Dagan Smith all do that as good as anybody.
Okay. I've just known Matt for his good copywriting and, you know.
He's a master storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
He's a master storyteller. So I recommend you just get a Gmail, set up a new Gmail account, subscribe to Matt's list. And that way when you need inspiration, you can just, like, go through there and read some of his stories.
Okay. So as far as getting the virtual assistant, do you recommend that we, you know, again, that's like a catch-22. I'm really not at the point of doing a ton of things to where I would absolutely have to have a virtual assistant as far as, you know, my business being to such a level, and yet to get all this up and running and everything, it would be a good thing if I could just start putting all the technical stuff over to somebody else.
Yes, I know that technical stuff is one of your sticking points, so if you can, for you, I would recommend probably a part-time person.
So these ones in the Philippines, they're still willing to do part-time as well as a full-time?
Yeah, in fact, some of them can only work part-time. I met a great I only did John's thing once, and I sent out like 20, and I got a couple good responses. I didn't get a million.
Uh-huh.
And but I had one girl who could only work part-time, and I really should have hired her. John's like, you know, I should have hired both of them. John told me to hire both of them. And, God, we were trying to get Oris out and all these other things, and I just let it drop. But, yeah, like, she could only work part-time because she was going to school.
Okay.
You know, and so, yeah, part-time's good. If I were you, I would hire somebody part-time for technical help and make sure they have technical abilities, skills.
Okay.
And that should be no problem.
Well, again, you guys have one up on us on that because, like you said, you've already learned a lot of it, so you can tell if somebody knows their stuff or not, where I can't. But at least
well,
it's
okay,
a starting point.
Well, okay, look at it this way, Marge. Write down a list of everything that you had problems doing or you need done.
Okay.
And there's your list. That's what you need to hire for.
All right. And then, you know, the other thing, because I was just, you know, this was going to be my next step was do the Twitter thing. But then I'm thinking, okay, that's viral. And once my stuff is out there, it's out there. So I need to be prepared before I get on Twitter because I'll have all this traffic. But then if they come and they don't find all they're looking for, they'll drop off.
Quit overthinking it. Just get on Twitter.
Okay.
Just don't overthink it. Get on Twitter and go to mom websites that where people have blogs about moms that talk to the same people you talk to, right?
Okay.
Add them on there. You ain't promoting to them. You're just making friends.
Okay.
You ain't selling them anything. Why would you wait? Oh, no, wait. I can't make friends yet. I'm not ready to make friends yet. I can't make friends until I'm making lots of sales. Well, why not? It's making friends. Get on there and be sociable to people who have lists and sell to the people you want to sell to.
Okay.
So just go on there and follow all of those people, you know. Be in the online forums for the target your moms, these people. And if somebody's there is really cool and you like them or they got a list and they got Twitter, Adam.
Okay.
Follow them, right? And start making friends with list owners. And then when you do have a product and you are ready, now you got people who will sell it for you, who will pimp it for you.
Okay.
All right, before we wrap this call up, we got time for one or two more. Who else here is stuck or has question, comment, et cetera?
Marlon, I had to be away for a little bit. I missed the person's name that you actually contact for the outsourcing to the Philippines.
That's replacemyself.com. That is John Jonas.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Who else?
Marlon, this is Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
How the heck can you get a hold of John Carlson's information? Copy course.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of ways. Number one is you go to twitter.com and you click on the tab that says Find People. You type in John Carlton and you follow him. first of all, and then you will see all his posts on TweetDeck. You download TweetDeck, and you should be using TweetDeck if you're not. And you will see John post, and you can go to John, and you can go to John's Twitter. You'll have John's Twitter then, and you can go into his Twitter stream and read his posts, and he'll post his different URLs and all that kind of thing. You can also, that's the way I would personally do it. You can also just go to Google and type in John Carlton blog and go to his blog. He has a blog.
Okay.
Who else has a question or a comment or something I can help you with before we wrap it up today?
Marlon, this is Marge. I just have one more question.
Marge,
I have HostGator, and I'm just double-checking. I'm thinking that I can do multiple domains under there for the same monthly cost. Is that accurate?
Well, it depends which HostGator account you want. How much do you pay HostGator a month?
It wasn't the lowest one, but I think it's like $8 a month or something.
I don't know on that plan. You'll have to check your plan.
Okay.
I have a 20 a month that's a reseller account and has unlimited domains.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on the $8 account.
Okay.
But yeah, you need an account. You need an account that has unlimited domains, although you can get by kind of depending on what you want on the domain. You can file a domain like at Namecheap or GoDaddy and use URL forwarding and forward to one specific URL that's on another domain. Like, nobody can tell. It like forwards it in a frame so nobody knows. But the problem is that's like only one page. It's really not the best solution. The best solution is to have an account that allows you to have multiple domains.
And that reminds me of one other thing I've been meaning to ask you for several weeks is, do you have available the software that hides the, you know how you can just click on a live link and, you know, you can just put in your words like check this out, but you're really sending them to the page? Do you have that in Promo Dashboard? Or who has that that you'd recommend
well,
me purchasing?
I really don't know what you're referring to.
Well, rather than like,
if
I send out an e-zine and I say, you know, go check out this product, rather than just writing down my URL, I can just make the words like, go see
well,
this
I
now.
Okay. Now, and where are you? Are you talking about doing this on a web page in your blog? Where are you talking about doing it?
Well, I would love to do it mainly in my e-zine because that's, you know, I love to write, and I would promote everything via email if I had a choice. But, you know, that way it kind of cloaks it, in other words.
Oh, that cloaks the link?
Yeah.
Well, if you're using AWeber, they have a thing there that you click that's create tracking links.
Okay.
And when you click that, it cloaks the links. What I personally use is a product called AdTrack Z Gold. But that's one of these that you have to have. The guy will install it for you, I think, free when you buy it. You'll need to have him install it for you.
Okay.
But it's AdTrack Z Gold. It's a great little product.
Okay, thanks.
Do you use OpenOffice?
Do I use OpenOffice?
No, I'm asking her if she uses OpenOffice.
Oh.
No, I haven't up until this point.
It's a free, something like a Microsoft Word that you can type in. And they have a way that you can actually hyperlink that term and just type in the URL where you want to go.
Okay. And that's called OpenOffice?
Uh-huh. And it's up in the toolbar. You simply highlight go here or click there or wherever, and then you go up to the hyperlink icon and click on that. And it drops down a box where you type in the URL where you want them to click through to.
Yeah, that's going to work on a PDF or something, but it's
right,
not going to work in an email because the email's text. But if you were doing a PDF, that would work fine.
It works in a PDF.
Yeah. All right. Who else has a question or a comment today? Anyone?
This is Nancy. I just have one more thing to say.
Okay. All right.
I went lateral on my Newbie Queen.
Okay.
I'm going to have another blog, and it's going to be specifically for women over 50.
Okay.
And it's going to be light and humorous and fun, and it's also going to talk about internet marketing, because a lot of people, as we all know, think they're too old to learn things like this, and so I'm going to cross-promote them, specifically from...
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're overreaching there. I think you need
think
to get
so?
Newbie Queen up and running.
Well,
before,
I will, yeah.
You know, but, I mean, 6 months from now, I'd say yeah, but right now I would put all my energies into one.
Okay.
So I just wouldn't lose focus. I think it's a good idea, and after you have Newbie Queen up and running and you got a lot of subscribers coming in and everything, yeah, good.
Okay.
Now, if you just don't want to do Newbie Queen, like this other one would be a lot more exciting, that's fine, but you got to understand that you would only be cross-selling a very small percentage of those people over into internet marketing.
Right.
Because most
right.
people just don't want to run a business.
Right. I understand, yeah.
You know, so I would stick with Newbie Queen and focus all your efforts on it.
Okay.
All right. My show, 1225, that's way more than you all probably stand today. So we're going to wrap this up. All of you should have plenty of stuff and good stuff to work on until the next call. Mike, thank you for being on the call. Nancy, Andrew, Mary. And I'm leaving people out because I'm half brain dead today. But I just want to thank you all for being on the call. I hope this gives all of you some direction and keeps you on a simple path that you can actually act on instead of just getting overwhelmed and buried in endless detail. I will see all of you in a couple of weeks. And hopefully...